Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time you've given us together now. God, as we open the Word of God again, I pray, Lord, you would enlighten our hearts and our minds. God, give us that we need today. You know what we're going to face today, what we're going to face this week. God, I pray the Spirit of God be our teacher now as he instructs us and guides us concerning these apostles. Lord, may we see in them that they are just plain, ordinary people, Lord, that you've called and chosen and trained and sent out. God, we see also in them, Lord, that they love people. They love souls. God, I pray you would help us with that today as we focus again on another apostle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do want to mention next Saturday morning at 9:45, we're meeting here in the fellowship hall up here to go out visiting. And those of you who'd like to come and go with us, we'd like to invite you to come. Well, if you don't have a place to go, we'll give you a place to go, okay? We even give you a map and all the information that you need to go out on visiting. I want to try to encourage you, us as a church, to come back together and start visiting more together. And we might see more people saved and be all encouraged. See, when we come together, we encourage one another when we come together to go out into the fields. And that's what we want to do next Saturday morning at 9:45. We'll meet, have a little refreshments, and then we go out around 10 o'clock for a couple hours and try to knock on some doors. So be much in prayer for that and come and be part of it. I know it'll be a blessing to you. Again, we've been talking about men who have changed the world. You know, we read about Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, all these men of God that really changed the world when they were here, their lives. But we're going to focus back even further than that, again, as we have been, upon the apostles and how they were men that God chose, and they changed the world during their day. And we want to look at them today. We looked at Andrew, who was a man behind the scene. We looked at also Peter. We see him, he failed, but he rose again. We also see, we talked about Matthew, who left all to follow Jesus. He was willing to give it all up just to follow Jesus and do what God wanted him to do. And last week we talked about Philip, who was the practical man, just a down-to-earth man who God used. And again, we said that we're talking about the apostles again because we want to see how God will and does use ordinary people. And number two, we want to see how these people were soul winners. They were conscious of people that were lost, and they brought people to Christ. And that's the purpose of us, folks, as a church, is to bring men and women, boys and girls, to Christ. And so we want to look at that today. So in John chapter 1 today, we're going to read again about another apostle here. Apostle is one sent out. He's commissioned by God. He's chosen by God. He's trained by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out into the world. He's a representative of Jesus Christ, an apostle was. He represents Jesus Christ. He is commissioned to preach the coming of the kingdom, to cast out devils, and also to heal the sick, the diseased. That was their mission. Again, I said earlier that there was apostolic age only during the times of their life, from the time Jesus commissioned them around Pentecost until they all died out. Now we don't need apostles today. We have the whole counsel of God. We have the Word of God. And we're to teach that and present that to people. Now today we're going to look at, again, John chapter 1, look at verse number 45. John chapter 1 and verse 45. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Now, we talked about Philip last week and how Jesus found Philip. We know that Andrew was instructed or guided more or less by John the Baptist, to get saved and to follow the Lord. And then he went and got his brother Peter, led him to the Lord. And we see here that now how Philip is going to bring someone to the Lord. So we see the day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee, and he findeth Philip, we talked about last week, and said to him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth who? Nathanael. Philip findeth Nathanael. Today we're going to talk about Nathanael. Nathanael, the apostle Nathanael. And we see Philip found him. Philip went to him and encouraged him and wanted him to follow him, to come to Jesus Christ, you see. So we see here, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we find here that Nathanael, his birthplace we know was in Cana of Galilee, is where he was born at. We know that he was, as Jesus said in verse number 47 here, we find he was one in whom there was no guile, no deceit. He was an honest man. Nathanael was an honest man. We also see that Nathanael, his name does not occur in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He has two names, Bartholomew. He's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as Bartholomew, and in John he's mentioned as Nathanael. So he has two different names. Nathanael and Bartholomew, again, are the same person. The same person. So, Nathanael, what does that mean? His name means the gift of God. The gift of God. Nathanael was, his name means the gift of God. He was one of the first to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah after his resurrection. One of the first, Nathanael was. He was introduced again to Jesus by who? Tell me. Philip. He was introduced to Jesus by Philip, which is read in this verse right here. We see that, again, he was an honest, open man. We see he was one to whom the Lord showed himself, again, after his resurrection. Now, we know that Jesus, the Messiah, the Master, when it comes to us, he knew that Nathanael was a descendant of Jacob. He knew all about him. He knew also his character, kind of person he was, like he knows all about us. There's not any of us that Jesus don't know about, folks. He knows about all of us. Everything there is to know about us. He knew things about Nathanael that no one else knew. Aren't you glad that only Jesus knows all the things about you? I am. I really am. But he knew a lot about Nathanael. Jesus did. Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee, Jesus said in verse number 48. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we see here Nathanael, the gift of God, another apostle that was used of God. We see again over here in chapter 1 and verse number, I look at verse number 47. Let's go back to verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, let's go back to 45, okay? Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is instruction from Philip to Nathanael. Verse 46, And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. I like that answer, don't you? He was, Come and see. You don't believe me, come and see. You know, don't just take my word, you come and see here, you see. And Jesus saw, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. My, what a testimony he had from Jesus. You know, Nathanael, well, that testimony from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we see here, Nathanael here is introduced, Jesus is seeing him. We know Jesus, when he proclaimed John the Baptist to be the Lamb of God, he then went to Galilee. Having called Philip to follow him, we find that Philip then went to Nathanael. You notice these apostles, when they begin to follow Jesus, what do? They get somebody else to come with them. All of them. They want somebody else to follow Jesus also. You know? You remember the day you got saved? I do. I wanted to tell everybody I was saved. I really did. I wanted somebody else to get saved the very day that I got saved. Well, these guys, as they follow the Lord, they want other people to follow the Lord too. And again, these are good examples to us as soul winners, as people that are conscious of people. And they want everybody to love the Lord like they do. So we see here, he called Philip to follow him. And Philip went to Nathanael to inform him that the Messiah had appeared. And we see here, Nathanael, first of all, in verse number 46, he expressed a distrust. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He sees his distress here, his distrust, I should say. But Nathanael accompanied Philip And as they approached Jesus, we notice what Jesus said unto him. Jesus identified him as an Israelite with no God, with no God. Jesus, all he said about Nathanael was positive. It was something good he said about him, okay? And he didn't question what he said. But Jesus, he said, "Behold, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree," verse 48, satisfied him as Jesus was more than just a man. He called him rabbi, master. He called him rabbi. He was his, wanted him to be his master through that. "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." So we see here in these verses here, Philip's concerned about Nathanael. He goes to Nathanael, tells him they have found the Messiah. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we notice he's introduced in verse 45 and verse 46. Philip introduces Nathanael to Jesus. In verse number 47 and verse 48, we find Nathanael's concerned. He's interested in Jesus. Look at verse 47 again. "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, Behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile." Now, when Jesus said that to Nathanael, notice Nathanael's response in verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" How do you know me, Jesus? How do you know me? He was concerned about Jesus. How do you know me? His interest here. See? And he said in verse also, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. In other words, I saw thee way back. You were under the fig tree before even Philip called you to follow me. You know, I'm so glad today to know that before I got saved, before you got saved, Jesus knew you. He knew me. He knew where we were. He knew the lifestyle we had and all that, and he loved us. He loved us. And I'm so glad that God probably sent somebody in your life as well as he did my life to help me to see my need for Christ. Just like Philip went to Nathanael here to see, let him know that he needed Christ also. So we see his interest in Jesus in verse number 48. He says, "Before, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. I was interested in you, not just now. I've always been interested in you." Jesus Christ died for the world, folks. Everybody. He's always been concerned about you, always been concerned about me. He came to seek and to save who? The lost. The lost. That's who I was. That's who you were. You may be today, I don't know. But if you're lost today, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. So we see here Nathanael introduced to Jesus. He's interested in Jesus and what he's saying. And then we see in verse 49 through 51 how Nathanael is inspired by Jesus, how Jesus encouraged him. Folks, we're seeing here, not only is Andrew, not only is Peter, Matthew, and Philip, but we also see that Jesus Christ is a soul winner. Amen. He's a soul winner. He's concerned about people while he was here physically on this earth. Not only did he teach and preach and raise the dead and all this kind of stuff, but he was concerned about their souls, that they would spend eternity with him in heaven. But we see also Nathanael's, how he was inspired by Jesus. Look at verse 49. "And Jesus answered and said unto him," Nathanael, "Because I have said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Because you've listened to me, because you want to follow me, there's going to be greater things you're going to anticipate in your life, he says. And he said in verse 51 unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So we see here that he's interested in Jesus. Nathanael is here now. We see a native of Galilee, Canaan of Galilee, whom Jesus called an Israelite, who had no guile in him. We see he is introduced at the beginning and also the close of the ministry of Jesus Christ, Nathanael is. Nathanael, we see here the gift of God, the gift of God. We see also he is one of the seven to whom the risen Lord manifests himself after his resurrection. He's one of the seven. Now, Who brought Nathanael to Christ? Tell me. Philip. Philip brought Nathanael to Christ, okay? Nathanael owed his introduction to Christ to a friend. The question today is this: have we introduced a friend to Christ? Have we this past week introduced a friend to Christ? That's a concern. That's a concern we see. Nathanael was prepared to listen to the conversation about Jesus when Jesus was speaking to him. He received the witness that is Philip as one who had found the Messiah. You know, isn't it strange? It's not strange, but isn't it revealing to us when somebody gets saved, how excited they are, they have the zeal and excitement about them when they get saved. You know, you just can't ignore them because of their desire to want to tell people about Jesus, how they're going around talking to everybody about Jesus. Well, this is what happened to Nathanael and Philip and all these people here as they would come to Christ. You see, Nathanael's hopes were realized in an unexpected way in verse 48. He had hope now. His hopes were expected now in an unexpected way by just meeting Jesus along the way there. Because he was going, following Philip, going along with Philip, and we see he's introduced to Christ. Often joy and rest comes to us many times in unexpected ways. Isn't it strange sometimes how God will put people in your path to you give you an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord? I mean, it really is. Sometimes we're shocked. Sometimes we're surprised that this has happened to me. But God does this. And he does it for a purpose, folks. He does it for a purpose. Nathanael did two things. He accepted the sure test of truth. Remember what he asked? He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael was failing to realize that God's grace is worldwide. You know that? It's not just in Clayton, North Carolina. It's worldwide. God's grace will reach anybody, anywhere. It can and it will, and it's evident here that this is what happened here in this situation here. But he accepted the test of truth here, like God's grace, and also the cure for prejudice. Jesus loves everybody. He's no respecter of person. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight, the Bible tells us. There's no prejudice when it comes to salvation. Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody. He accepted this when Philip said, come and see. Come and see. Come with me and see the man that I want to introduce to you. My, we ought to be asking people to come and see. Come to see Jesus. Come to see the Lord here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Inviting people to Christ. Letting them know that there's something special here. Now, Nathan's faith. Look at his faith. First of all, he rejoiced the Master. When Nathan responded to Jesus in a positive way, Jesus was excited. You know, the Bible tells us that angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance, right? One sinner comes to repentance. Well, Jesus here was excited now because Nathanael was going to follow him. He's put his faith in him, and he secured him of the promise of blessings. We find in verse 49 the blessings that Jesus is going to give him by just following him. So we see Nathan, we see here the gift of God. Another apostle. Now Nathan, again, was invited to Christ by who? Philip. Nathan was invited to Christ by Philip. Have you invited anybody this week to Christ? Have we? Why are we here, folks? God, if he wanted to take us home to heaven, he could already. But he's got us here for a commission. He's got us here for a job. That is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So we see here, between Philip and Nathanael, we observe two things. We observe zeal and also weakness. Zeal and weakness in these apostles here, in both of them. We see the joyful news that Philip brought to Nathanael. Nathanael, I got some good news. You know, we have found the Messiah. We found the one that Moses has been talking about. We found him. He's here. He's alive. He was excited about what he had to say. He was joyful. He had joyful news. You know, we sing that song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. We have the joyful sound. I forget the words. But Jesus does save, folks. We have the joyful news today to tell the world. Jesus loves them. Went to the door, I think it was last week before last, knocked on the door. And the lady said, can I help you? And I said, I have some good news for you. She said, what is it? I said, God loves you. Jesus saves. She said, amen, that's right, he does. You know, but we have the good news to tell people, folks. We find here that the good news here, the joyful news, Philip told Nathanael here. We see as Andrew, Philip, meeting him, met Christ, both of these guys did not rest till they told somebody else about Jesus. That's the thing about it getting saved. You can't rest till you tell somebody else what happened to you. I couldn't. When I got saved, I couldn't rest till I tell somebody about what happened to me. There's something inside, we know it's the Holy Spirit of God, that gives us excitement, that gives us that desire, that zeal to want to tell people about Jesus when we get saved. It's something burning within us. It burns within us here. You see, I've said this last week, there is never a man saved who wants to go to heaven alone. Never. If someone is genuinely born again, they want somebody to go with them. I don't want to go to heaven alone, do you? I want to take somebody with me. The only way I do that is follow the Lord. Follow His Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. The joy in Philip concerning Christ. He was excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we also talked about the objection of Nathanael in verse number 46 and verse number 48. Nathanael was very cautious. He was cautious about this idea of what Philip had to him, about meeting the Messiah, about the one that Moses had talked about. He was cautious here. And he had objections here because he was unlearned. He didn't know nothing about Jesus. He hadn't heard much about him at this time. But notice Philip's reply was short. Come and see. Come and see. You know, sometimes our response to people that have questions, sometimes I'm afraid we go too much in detail. We need to be just short and sweet about it. Just be short about it. You know, and let God's Holy Spirit give the answer to these people. Because we don't always have the answer. It was his wisdom and zeal that caused him to come to go to Christ. His wisdom and zeal when it caused Philip to go to Christ. And now we see Nathanael. When they passed Jesus, Nathanael, Philip, passed by Jesus, we see he came, and what he saw was not in vain. It was not in vain when he met Jesus. Later on, he followed Jesus too. See, that's the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus saw him coming. And when he saw him coming, he met him with encouragement. In verse number 47, look what the Bible says. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed to whom is no guile. Would not that be encouragement to Nathanael? Behold an Israelite, who's no sin, there's no deceit. Here's a man, here's an honest man, upright man, he said. He identified him as that. And Jesus saw him coming and encouraged him. He commended him here and excused his objections in verse 48. Jesus did not pay any attention to his objections. He just excused them, you see. A sincere follower of is a good example. Philip was a good example. And Jesus was the best example, of course, we have here with this. A sincere professor of the faith of Israel was Jesus, was Philip at this time. Nathanael is much surprised at what took place here in verse number 50. We see, Jesus said to him, behold, because I said it to them, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. Philip was surprised. He was surprised. He really was. He was excited about what took place. Nathanael obtained a full assurance about Jesus Christ and his life. There was no doubt. He was the Messiah. He called him Rabbi. Rabbi. My, what a testimony we have here from Nathanael. From Nathanael. He believed with his whole heart. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. He freely confessed with a smile, calling him Rabbi in verse number 49. Jesus Christ being Rabbi. We see Christ raised the hopes and expectations for Nathanael. It's all because of Philip. Philip bringing Nathanael. You know, this thing about winning people to Christ is a domino experience. One person telling another person. Someone says, so when it is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's about true, as far as soul winning is concerned. It's a thing we all ought to be doing, folks. We all ought to be doing. And we see here in these apostles how they were concerned about people. When they followed Jesus, they wanted somebody else to follow Jesus. They wanted somebody else to follow Jesus. It's a going on thing they wanted to do all the time, you see. And may we be busy doing that also in our life. Conclusion is this. First of all, we see even sincere, honest people, need the Savior. I know people, and you do too, that are some of the best people in the world. They're honest, they're more upright, they treat everybody right, they do everything good and all that, but yet they're still lost. And they need to be saved. We see this is the kind of man Nathanael was. He was a good man. But he needed Jesus, didn't he? He needed Christ in his life, in his heart. And we see here that Philip was the one chosen by God to bring Nathanael to Jesus. He was the one. Listen, you're the one to bring somebody to Jesus. You know that? You're the one. I'm the one. We can bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus knows all about us. Like Jesus knew all he did about Nathanael. Told him he met him under the fig bush and all this. He knew about Nathanael. Jesus knows all about you and all about me. We need to remember that, folks, today. Nathanael, he owed his friend an introduction to Jesus. He needed to tell somebody else about Jesus. If somebody cared enough to tell me about Jesus, I should care enough to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen? This is a very important thing in our life. Don't stop at salvation, folks. Listen, if you're here today and you're saved, don't stop there. That's not where we should stop, just as being saved and satisfied. I got a ticket to heaven, I don't need nothing else. Yes, we do. As a born-again child of God, we don't stop at salvation. There is greater things to be done. There are greater things to be learned in this life than just being saved. Now, being saved is the most important thing. But there's more things after that. And that is telling people what God has done for you, how Jesus saved you, and he'll save them also. May the Lord help us to be more like Philip, that we might be concerned about a friend, about somebody that we know that don't know Christ. We see Nathanael. He accepted the challenge. When Philip said, Nathanael, come and see. He didn't hesitate. He just went with him. He went with him to Jesus. And when he got there, my, look what happened to Nathanael. Because of Philip. You know, I can tell you time after time how people have led people to Christ and they became great pastors and preachers, evangelists. Moody. His Sunday school teacher cared enough about his. He worked at a shoe shop, I think it was, wasn't him? And somebody come by and talked to him about the Lord. He got saved. Look what God did through him. We entertain angels sometimes, folks, and we're not even aware of it. Somebody that wants God can use to be a giant for him. Nathanael, an apostle. A man now that's been saved, following the Lord Jesus Christ because of Philip. You know, Emily Dickinson was a poet. She wrote this, and I say, truth is so rare. We can acknowledge that today, amen? Truth is so rare, that it is delightful to tell. It's delightful to tell. You know, it's very encouraging to be able to tell the truth to people that need the truth, that want the truth, and desire the truth. You know, these people would go out and knock on doors. Most of them really do care, but most of them are so busy they don't have time to care. You know, they're on the telephone, they're fixing to leave, they're all kinds of things. Went to a door this past week, went to a house, and the lady was in the backyard, fence in the backyard, and she was talking to her neighbor on this side. Went by there to speak to her, and she says, I don't have time, and my husband, he's asleep. So we left, went out the driveway. By that time, her neighbor had gone over in her house, so we went over towards that house. And as we went over to that house, we saw this lady's husband in the backyard cutting grass. He was sleeping, all right. He was cutting grass. I mean, you know, people just don't have time. They don't want you to interfere with what they're doing, you see. But we still have the obligation to go and tell. Because you know what? There's going to be one day that'll listen. There's going to be one day, and that's going to make it worth it all. Worth it all when you have the opportunity to take the Word of God and open it up and share the plan of salvation with somebody and somebody gets saved. That makes it worth it all, folks. That makes it worth it all here. So we see, yes, the truth is so rare that it's delightful to tell. That's what we want to do starting next Saturday morning, 9:45. We're going to go out and tell the truth. Okay? Come and join us. Pray for us. Pray with us. And we're going to trust God to give us some souls here at Fellowship Baptist Church and stir us all up as His children. Because we need an awakening, folks. We need to be awakened. Time's running out. I'd love to see revival like it's up in Burlington, up that area, wouldn't you? I would like to see that. May the Lord help us as we endeavor to do His will. Father, thank You for loving us. We thank You for this Apostle Nathan. We thank You, Lord, for Philip loving him, being concerned about people enough to instruct him and guide him to Jesus. Father, may that be our prayer. May that be our desire as we go out this week to tell somebody about Jesus. Father, that's the only thing that's going to make this world a better place to live, is tell somebody about Jesus. Lord, help us to be busy. Lord, bless Your people this week. Give them a good week. That's the service we're about to go into today. Lord, if there's one here in this class this morning that does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray somehow the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and help them to realize that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. He wants them to come to Christ and put their faith and trust in Him, and He'll save them. You have to do that. Lord, do that today. Here for someone. And Lord, I just pray You bless the singing, bless our preacher in the next service. Have Your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.